resides, but there are other schools across the university, and like including like a business school, international studies, public health. And many people know about the medical school. So like it's a pretty broad-reaching group of organizations under the umbrella of Johns Hopkins. So just giving you a picture of where we're at, we're like so we have Johns Hopkins, then the Whiting School of Engineering, and then we're in the Civil and Systems Engineering program. So I'm going to open up a set of slides here. Just give me a second. So can everyone see this okay? Aziz, is this showing up well?
Yes, okay? We see it on screen. Is this,
So this is us. I think you can see me. I think I have my camera turned on. Oh, maybe I don't. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I didn't have my camera turned on, but now you can see me. And also is Gonzalo and there, and Danielle, the other colleagues I was talking about. And today we're going to go over just more or less an overview of the department, research areas, degree programs, and student experience. And like this is a key part of our department. This like list of grand challenges. We've thought really deeply about this, and these are the missions that drive us as a department. This is when we're thinking about teaching or going after research projects, research grants. We try to focus on these specific topics: resilient cities, space exploration, health, human safety and security, and energy infrastructure. And you'll find this like in the expertise of the faculty that are reside in our department, and you'll also find it like if you're looking at the class list, the courses that are offered, they're often focused around these topics. So Gonzalo and I have close ties to the department, I got my PhD in here in the department, and Gonzalo, maybe I don't know if you want to like just introduce yourself too, like I don't know if he can actually. Maybe he can't through Zoom anyway. I don't know how it's working, but like Gonzalo and I have both worked in the department for a while. And we're part of this group here of engineering faculty. Also, you see here, like there's quite a few graduate students. So maybe 50 master's students, 70 PhD students. Together we like form like a pretty, I would say like almost like intimate group where we, are pretty focused on many of the graduate students are focused on research. The department has grown, I would say, quite a bit over the last few years. So I can emphasize that a little bit as well. So we were the Department of Civil Engineering for many years. Like I was showing you some pictures of the campus earlier, and you could see, the building that we're in, Latrobe Hall, was one of the first buildings that was constructed on the Homewood campus back in the early 1900s. So we have a long history of in civil engineering. And then recently we decided to, our teaching and research were leading us to this integration of engineering and civil engineering and systems. So thinking about a city as a system, thinking about materials as a system, thinking about group of hospitals as a system. Or so that's a key focus for us, is that we've been hiring faculty mostly focused on the systems engineering part of our new branding for the department. So I mentioned Latrobe Hall. That was it was built in the early 1900s, but it's a pretty modern facility, especially all the labs that we have in the basement. It's quite a bit of investment, I would say, in things like the thin-walled structures lab. We have professors who are studying fire engineering, and so we have some ability to test at high temperatures. We have quite a bit of like computational, like high performance computing capabilities. And overall, like many of our world-class faculty end up with research grants that allow us to fund these centers and labs. And then they use them on their projects, and we get the benefit of using them for even in classes sometimes. So you can see there's a lot of cool stuff. Like another one is another very fun piece of equipment, or like pieces of equipment, are additive manufacturing, like printing things. You 3D printers, you've heard of that. We have some really advanced ones where we can print anywhere from like skin, food, like some pretty wild stuff. So exploring like these architected materials that can be used for future advancement and to the benefit of society. So, and as I mentioned, Johns Hopkins was started in the middle to late 1800s, and the focus was always research. And the university is set up so that we can interact with all of these different departments and schools. So like our group of faculty and students, graduate students, are often interacting with all of these departments and schools. And also, you know, since we have many connections, we're working on collaborations and with many other schools around the world. This is just a short list, but like, as you can imagine, with the research, when we're focusing on research, that research brings us, so we need specific teams, expertise that we build. And those teams are not just at Johns Hopkins. And that's for sure like an advantage for you all thinking about coming to Hopkins, is that you not only get to, you know, get to know us, but like we are pretty well connected with other places. In research areas. So going back to the early 1900s and the origins of our department, we've always been focused on these ideas, mechanics, materials, structures, and systems. Those are still like the core pillars of our knowledge today in the department. This is just the people. These are the, as I mentioned, like world-class faculty. Like they're all like extremely knowledgeable, driven, smart, also like extremely nice, like happy people. It's like like our department is not that big, and so like we have really strong, we're able to develop really strong relationships, and like yeah, it's great. And here's a list of some of the topics that we are covering. And some simulations. So I mentioned architected materials, so like that's a key focus for several of the faculty in the department, and some are better at envisioning the configuration of architected materials, and some are better at like manufacturing them. And so you can imagine there's like this natural collaboration. Structures faculty, again, are working across like many different topics, from earthquake engineering, fire, thin-walled structures, and like contemplating structures as systems. So like that's, I think that's a pretty unique feature of our department, is as I was mentioning, like this focus on systems. So like thinking about a building as a system, like how does the, what is the probability of failure of that system? Like, so stochastic stuff and probability statistics are also core to Johns Hopkins University, and many of like the fundamental ideas in engineering have been at least like at least partially developed at Johns Hopkins. Yeah, this is just an example of thinking through like applying knowledge from automotive industry, for example, in building structures. And then systems faculty, like you can see here, like this is quite a group. Yeah, it's quite a group, like growing every day. But these are really, again, like world class. They are, I think they have like a core knowledge, I would say, in like data driven models, networks, machine learning, yeah, like that kind of stuff. Like that's where they're all coming from. They're all very good at like modeling systems, predicting the behavior, the performance of systems. And because they have that like fundamental knowledge that they pass on to the students, like we end up working in a variety of different areas here. You can see from transportation, cybersecurity, natural disasters, energy, and healthcare. So it's a really exciting time, I would say, to be in the department. And there's a lot of activity driven by, especially these faculty. I'm just showing you here. This is one example. So this is Professor Lauren Gardner, who, with one PhD student, launched this COVID dashboard out of our department, and it became the most heavily used data source for during the pandemic. This kind of stuff came out of our department. This is just one example of things that are really influencing the world. So I think we can switch to degree programs now. And I understand from Aziz that many of you are interested in PA or master's student or master's degrees, but like we can also talk about we can talk about both PhD and master's. Like, so our PhD is typically 4 to 5 years, 8 courses. The courses are loaded in the first year. There's some qualifying exams and a few exams along the way. I'll mention this to you all, like it is possible to go directly from an undergraduate degree and then be accepted into the PhD program. So like that's something that sometimes students or applicants go for. So that's, I just wanted to drive that home. And also for funding, the PhD, if you're accepted into our PhD program, you're fully funded, which means full tuition covered, plus it's, I think, a stipend of around $45,000 a year. So you're pretty much like almost become an employee of the university, and you're helping your research advisor, your professor on a specific topic for 4 or 5 years. That's how it works. Here, the master's program, like, so again, Aziz, is Gonzalo able to communicate on here, or should I try to just keep going? Like if he wants to chime in on anything.
who wants to chime in?
Yeah, Gonzalo should be able to speak.
We don't hear him. It's okay. Like, don't worry. I can handle it for him. But like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, I'll take care of this. So yeah, for the master's program, there are actually two programs. One is in civil engineering. One is in systems engineering. And as I mentioned, I'm the advisor for the civil engineering program, and Gonzalo is the advisor for systems engineering. The master's program is set up so that you can. It's 8 courses for coursework only, and that's what most master's students do with these days in our department. It's set up so that you could finish in less than a year. You could do 4 courses, fall, spring, and graduate. Or if you wanted to hang out a little longer, like, you could spread it out over 3 semesters. And also, if you ended up finding some research and you're working with a professor, then you can even extend it to 4. So, I mean, that's how it's set up. And we do offer some funding opportunities in the form of tuition scholarships, I think is what we usually call them. And they are, it's not full, like, usually maybe, let's say, like, 20%, 30%, maybe up to 50% of the annual tuition is covered. So just, I know you all are probably interested in how the money works. So it's usually you're responsible for the other chunk of that, like 50%, or that's how it works. This is maybe a good time. Damir, you're there, right? And you're on Telegram, so you can communicate with us, right? So Z's, I saw Damir on the list. Maybe everyone is muted. Oh, Damir is there. I see him. Can we unmute him?
All right, now you should all be able to hear me, hopefully.
All right.
You hear me?
Yeah.
So, good.
Yeah, we can hear you. And yeah, so Damir, please, like, you've heard what I've been talking about, and like, you should just talk about your experience, your graduate experience. I think it'd be useful for everyone.
Sure. Again, sorry for technical difficulties. I never used video conferencing through Telegram, but. My name is Damir. I'm from Kazakhstan, originally from Astana, our capital city. I'm sure most of the people, as I understood here, are also from Kazakhstan, so I'll talk from this perspective. So upon my graduation from high school in Astana from school lyceum number 60, which was previously number 9, I have decided to pursue my undergraduate studies in US, and I went to an upstate university in New York, to upstate New York to study at SUNY Poly. And upon completion of my degrees there, and also in civil engineering, I didn't know if I want to pursue PhD right away or not. So I went to Johns Hopkins and applied for master's and was accepted, fortunately. And I did my master's here. I did 1 year version of it. And then upon completion, I decided that I do like research. I do want to stay at this institution, which really focuses on research. In fact, Even if you are an undergraduate here, I don't think I ever met an undergraduate here who wasn't involved in research in some way or form, which is very atypical for universities. So this is one really nice point about our university. And then I decided to stay for PhD, and now I'm in my third year. I work in the Department of Civil and Systems Engineering. I do research in reliability of steel structures. So I just basically calculate probabilities of failure of a structure over its design lifetime. So this is what I do on my daily basis. And regarding the social life here, besides academics, academics are very rigorous here. It's very nice. There are a lot of people who are involved in what they do, in that they like doing this. I have a lot of friends from all over the world. This is a big international institution. There are a lot of international students here. We have a lot of student organizations that constantly have events. University also does events all the time. For example, right now is winter, so we have ice rink organized by university. And basically, if you have any other questions, you can ask them right now, and I'll try to answer them from a student perspective because I have experience in both master's and PhD programs. And if you have, if you don't want to ask them in public, you can just feel free to basically send me a message on Telegram. I'm quite active there.
Thanks, this Demir. Is my life. That's amazing. Like Demir is like a total like he's doing really great here. And yeah, thanks, Demir.
Thank you.
All right, here. Let me. I think I'm more or less done with this presentation. I mean, I can show you some picture or some lists of structure of courses that you can take. You can read these for a second. So like I always tell the students, and I think probably Gonzalo the same, that one of the hardest things about your master's or your graduate degree here is like picking the courses, the eight courses. There are like so many courses available, both like on campus and like we have a whole online world now here at Hopkins. So like there's just so many fun, interesting courses. It's hard to pick the ones that you might want to take. I guess I can mention the admissions process. So we're in the admissions cycle right now. For PhDs, the applications for this year have already been closed more or less. So if you wanted to apply, you would apply again in November, December of this year. For master's students, we're accepting applications all the way through March 1st. And it's pretty much Gonzalo and myself who are like the applications come in, Gonzalo reviews them or I review them, depending upon if it's systems or civil. And that's it. So I understand from Aziz that Gonzalo can chime in a little bit. So like, let's give him an opportunity. And for sure, Aziz, like you can put me on mute, whatever you need to do to get Gonzalo in here so he can.
All right, great. So
sorry, Aziz, I think you need to unmute yourself so that we hear Professor Pita speak.
The programming systems engineering is very multidisciplinary. It has several areas of expertise for computer science. Many things in between, Chris already mentioned some of that. But yeah, it's very multidisciplinary. We have students from different backgrounds. So not just systems or civil engineering, but from mathematics, economics, public health, from all over the place. You can hear me well?
We can hear you, Professor Pita, but it's a little bit, the volume is on low.
I guess that you cannot hear me well. So, yeah, I was giving a short overview about the background of the program, but maybe, I don't know, I can stop if there are any other, maybe Chris can build in there and tell me if there are any questions.
All right. Well, that's, right, well, that's so. I can just finish up here. We're almost done. I think you all can still see my screen. Let me check to make sure. Oh, do I need to share my screen again? There you go. Damir mentioned the student experience and like. Baltimore is a really nice place to live. Lots of student organizations, having lots of fun. We just celebrated the Lunar New Year here yesterday. Another strength, I would say, of our department is that we're very well connected to industry, to the big companies around the US and around the world. So we all of our graduates end up with great jobs, and pretty much any company you can imagine, we have alumni connections to. So this is just some local companies. Also, if you're thinking about PhD in academia, as I mentioned before, we have really strong connections to universities. Also government, military, and this is just a short list of pretty much any place you can imagine. Maybe you can just, we want to take a look at these company names, some of them are some of the big tech companies that you all have heard about before. We're well known, and we work hard at that. So we have lots of connections, and those connections lead to jobs for our graduates. I would say that's pretty much it. And what's important for myself and Gonzalo and also Damir is that we answer all of your questions and that we try our best to convince as many of you as possible to apply to our program, and we'll. You know, we try to get as many of you to Hopkins as that we can. I mean, that's always our goal. So I don't know. That's the presentation. And I know Aziz had some ideas about how to handle the Q&A. I also say we don't mind just listening to you talk. You can just not unmute yourself and talk if you want. It's fine. I don't know what Aziz prefers, but we're ready to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, I think if anyone here have any questions, they can just raise their hands and ask the questions to Chris or Gandalf or Damir.
Oh, one thing I forgot. I have my camera. So since I'm a graduate of Hopkins, our department, when you graduate there, you get one of these. You get this hat. This is like a traditional thing from our department. So I'll wear this also.
That's looking great.
Thanks.
I'll just chip in so that this people don't feel as scared or shy to ask questions. But if you really do have questions, feel free to ask them right now, or you can find us anywhere else on socials and reach out to us there. I'll try to answer questions from a student perspective, and if you have something more academic related, I can just forward the questions to Chris and Gonzalo. If not, I guess you can reach out to us afterwards.
Yeah, don't be shy. We're happy to.
Good evening, good day, everyone. I just have one question. How about age limit for applicant?
There's no age limits. Don't worry. Yeah,
All right, thank you.
It's all about you, your application and your skill set. Like when I'm looking at applications, I'm looking at transcripts to make sure, like same with Gonzalo, we're making sure that you have the background. As Damir was saying, it's pretty academically rigorous here at Hopkins, so like we just make sure you have the background so that you can the opportunity to do well here. And we also look at the personal statements and the statement of purpose, like just to hear like your unique perspective. Make sure you have some like clear ideas of where you want to go. That's more or less it. That's what we're looking for. What was your name?
My name is Ahat.
Ahat. Okay. All right. Ahat. Thanks for asking the question.
Can I ask one question, please?
Sure.
About the background you were telling, is it important to have scientific researches before applying to your university?
No, I don't think it's so much about research. I think it's more about like just making sure like you have some some technical background that like some math and things like that. Research experience isn't that really important, I would say. I mean, maybe for a PhD program, it might help you a little bit, but for a master's, I think it's not really expected.
And I can just try to answer this question from my perspective. Even if you come to Hopkins with no research experience, you will definitely gain it while you're here. It's unavoidable in some sense. So there are a lot of students who I know in my cohort who didn't have research experience, who came here and did their master's quite successfully, did their PhD quite successfully. So at least from student perspective, it's not that important. You'll learn everything here.
What was your name? So, what's your name, by the way?
My name is Gunas. Gunas.
Gunas?
Yeah.
All right.
One more question about is it available to apply to you through Bolashak program?
Through both systems and civil, or masters and PhD?
For masters now. Masters are interesting me more.
Yeah, masters. So apply in civil engineering and systems engineering?
Chris, I think she was asking about the scholarship I was just talking to you about yesterday. That's government sponsored. So I can answer this question.
Sure.
Yes, Bolashak can sponsor your education abroad and Hopkins as well. I had a few fellow people, students from Kazakhstan who did their master's here through Bolashak program. So definitely, yes, you can do that.
Okay,
I hope that answers your question.
Sorry, I totally missed that one. I didn't hear that part about, I didn't know it was called the Bullet Shock program. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. All right, sir. Thanks, Damir, for saving me there.
You're welcome. And on another note, besides Bolashak being in place as an additional financial aid for you if you want to apply here, there is also, you might know, Shahmardan Yesenia Foundation, that is a more private foundation that can sponsor your education abroad. And there are many other scholarship fellowship programs that can help you get education in a foreign country, but this is basically not too related to this department in particular. This is more on like our Kazakhstan's government level. So I hope this is helpful.
You said about as a scholarship. Can you repeat the man's name?
Shahmardan Yesenov.
So it's
Yeah, it's Yesenia Foundation. I can send you a link right now.
Okay, thank you very much. But is it like among foreign countries or in Kazakhstan specifically?
Shahmardan Yesenia Foundation can sponsor your education abroad. I think they basically focus on foreign universities if you want to apply abroad.
Okay, thank you. Some additional information. Thanks.
You're welcome. Does anyone else have any questions? Don't be shy. We already broke the ice.
Yeah.
So we're
good. There we go. We're good.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be too much active at some point, but one last question about is your university's proficiency is more about engineering only, or you also have some social sciences?
I mean, for sure there's social sciences. Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, so what kind of social sciences are you considering? Like, can you be a little more specific?
More like maybe the mix of medical and social sphere, like public health. Is it?
Yeah. We can. You can totally. Yeah. I mean, that definitely exists. Like, there's a blending of engineering and public health, for example. A blending that we see that often. So as part of your program, like we can. We do that all the time, where like we just if I'm your advisor, we just try to figure out a plan where you get exposed to that kind of those social sciences that you're interested in. It's all like there's not many boundaries, I would say, at Hopkins, because it's a research university, like focused, like it's pretty easy to cross between these different departments, groups, topics. Sorry, Demir.
I just want to add that, Gujan, the collaboration between probably our systems department and healthcare policy is one of the biggest that we have, in fact. And Hopkins is primarily medical university, so you can think of any combination of medicine plus politics, social sciences, policies, and we have that in, and this is probably the biggest part of the university. Yes. So, and as Chris said, because the university is mostly research university, the interdepartmental boundaries are quite faint. So you can work with anyone that you want here, and in any overlapping areas that you want to.
Okay, I see. So as there is a choice for students to find their own specific subjects, there is an opportunity to choose like several spheres for learning, yes?
Yes, that's right. Like it's pretty much one-on-one tailored. And it's very flexible.
Your master's degree stays for 1 year or two?
It can be, you can finish like in pretty quickly, or you can stay for longer. Like again, that's like kind of up to you. Like I would say overall for international students, it's usually students from abroad. It's usually 3 semesters is what I see. So you arrive, so you get to know, you take some courses, like you arrive, you get to, you take some courses, get to know professors, then you take some more classes in the second semester, maybe you start working on a little research, and then a few more classes, and like, and then you work through the summer on either an internship or with a professor, like an industry internship or professor, and then you wrap up in your third semester. It's a very common flow for.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
So basically the question of how long will you spend here doing your master's is more of a question of about you, how fast-paced or slow-paced you want your coursework to be. If you want to take 1 year, you can take 4 technical courses, 2 semesters, and then you will graduate. If you want to also take additional research responsibilities at the same time, you will have not as much time for coursework, so you can prolong it for 3 or 4 semesters. This is like 1.5, 2 years. And this is 2 years, 1.5 is typical here, yes.
Okay, so it depends on age, student speed, as I say, yes?
Yes, it's your own pace.
Thank you for your response.
Okay.
Are there any exchange programs possible between universities that are located close to you?
Exchange programs. I don't hear about many. I don't hear about exchange programs very much, at least for graduate programs.
Yeah, I don't think this is big, but we have a lot of programs that allow you to internship at big companies with which Hopkins collaborates. For example, if you apply for master's in civil engineering, you can go an internship for this during the summer at the biggest construction companies in the US. So this is an opportunity, but if you're talking about exchange programs with other universities, that would be more related to if you're doing any research, probably. So you can do some exchange there, probably. I would say this is a little bit atypical.
It is atypical at the master's level. At the PhD level, it might happen. So, like, for example, we have a project ongoing between, like, where Johns Hopkins University and University of California, San Diego is involved. And, like, if you're a PhD student, you may end up, like, going to California for, like, a summer to work there and then come back to Hopkins. That's that kind of thing.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, anything else? All right. Well, it was great talking to all of you. And as we were emphasizing, like, we're very accessible. We're happy to talk and answer more questions. And
Sorry, mister. Yeah. I have one question. Yeah. I think it's okay if I ask you now. So right now I'm studying in China. I learn Chinese language, and I'm kind of regret about this decision. So I thought change my university and going to, for example, study at USA. So now I have like kind of chance to ask someone. And if I go from China to study at USA, it's not going to be a problem for, I don't know, government or some people in your university, like, I don't know, because in the often a lot of people try to ask something like, oh, why you change your university from China to USA or something like this.
I don't think that's not going to influence our admissions decision at all, I would say. We know you now, like you're even talking to us. So like, I don't know. Like, I think it's fine. Like don't worry too much about that. Like, I mean, there are like visa complications, as you all know, for students from abroad. So I think that's the main hurdle that you have to get over.
Yeah, because even about the visa like problem, it's also gonna like big question why you from the China going to USA or something like this.
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's no worries. Like, I'm just gonna look. Yeah, like I said, I know you now. Like, you can just message me when you submit your application. We'll look at it. Like, that's it. No worries. But yeah.
But you don't have any like kind of helping and stuff about the visa, like, oh, this guy has signed a good something like this.
We have a whole department, like a whole department inside of Johns Hopkins that deals with this stuff. So like once you get accepted, then you communicate with them and they're very skilled at guiding you through that. Like it's the office, it's OIS, right? Office for International, right, Demir? Is it OIS, I think, or IOS?
Yes, it's Office for International Students. They handle all of the visa immigration-related questions, and they're very fast and very skilled, as Chris said. So there is no single problems that you might experience on the way to applying here and transferring. I anticipate that you will have no problems. So, and in fact, most of the international students in our department are from China, and there are no problems. So, I don't think your worries are have a good foundation. So, I don't worry about this.
Thank you. I appreciate for your question. Спасибо. До свидания.
Nice. Getting some good. That was good. All right. Well, I was trying to wrap up, but like No, does anybody else have any last minute questions? Okay.
Yeah, but,
well,
but if not, yeah.
Aziz, like, thanks so much for having us, and like, thanks to everyone. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. That was a great presentation and great speech.
Yeah, well, Demir helped a lot too, and also Danielle helped more or less put those slides together, and Gonzalo was here, he wanted to be here, and he can for sure help if anybody has questions about the systems engineering program. He's always available.
We'll leave some contacts and emails so people will be
okay.
People will know where to write to.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Damir.
Thank you very much for having us. Good evening, everyone. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, on Telegram, WhatsApp, whatever you want. I'm available.
Thanks again. Have a good
Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.